And here he speaks. He says, I'm afraid, like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. The thing we have to beware of in Satan and his deception is his craftiness. Your minds will be led astray from simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. All going astray comes when our devotion to Jesus is gone. I believe that God is, I don't take the credit for myself, I believe God Himself has protected me from deception in these 46 years of being a believer. I've listened to many doctrines, I've been in many groups and heard many, many things. But one of the things God planted in my heart when I was a young Christian, 20, 21 years old, was a devotion to Jesus Christ that I have sought to preserve in all these 45, 46 years. And whenever the main thing in your life is not fervent love for Christ, fervent devotion to Christ, a longing to meet your bridegroom. The first book I studied in the Bible was the Song of Solomon. And the Lord did that. It was, I see why God did it. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I never studied the Bible. But I didn't know how to study the Bible. And it wasn't my choice. I was all alone in a ship. And I had the Bible. And the only other book I had was a book on Song of Solomon I picked up somewhere. So God compelled me to study that book and showed me what devotion to Christ was. And that brought into my heart an understanding of Christ's immense love for me and that the whole of the Christian life was to be a walk with our heavenly bridegroom until the day I'd get married to Him. And that is what Paul says here, will protect you from deception. But when you get taken away from love for Christ and get taken up with love for money, material things, human beings, preachers, houses, lands, possessions, your job, or any other thing, you are a prey for Satan to deceive you. He's out to deceive you and you won't even know it. You see, if you knew that you were deceived, you're not deceived. Deception is such that you don't even know you're deceived. How does somebody deceive you with a counterfeit 100-rupee note? If you look at it and say, hey, this is counterfeit, you're not deceived. Deception is when you've taken the money, gone away, and you're completely convinced you're 100 rupees richer, and you're not. You've been fooled. And deception comes when you listen to a message and you're convinced it is the truth. And it's not the truth. And why is it not the truth? Because it has not led you to devotion to Christ. He's got you taken up with something else, with ministry perhaps, with miracles perhaps, with healing perhaps, something other than fervent devotion to Christ. It doesn't matter what it is. I guarantee you're a candidate for deception. But it's very easy to be protected if your main aim in life is devotion to Christ. Ministry can be a deception. Now, I've had to watch that. You know, I'm engaged in ministry now. Many years I've been in full-time Christian work, nearly 40 years. But I say, Lord, never will my ministry be my God. I don't care if it all goes away. Devotion to Christ, I want to warn you, dear brothers and sisters. And he says here, if somebody comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. Because even if I'm unskilled in speech, yet I'm not so in knowledge. I want to read that in another translation. You put up with these big shot apostles. They are rich. They have enough money to come on television every day. Why can't you put up with simple me? I'm as good as they are. It's true that I don't have their voice and their eloquence and haven't mastered that smooth eloquence that impresses you so much. But when I do open my mouth, at least I know what I'm talking about. We haven't kept anything back from you. We let you know everything. Oh yes, I wonder if I made a bad mistake in proclaiming God's message to you without asking you for any money in return, like all these other preachers. Maybe that was my mistake, serving you free of charge so that you would not be inconvenienced. That's the thing. That's why the Corinthians didn't respect Paul. You see, he doesn't charge anything for his sermons, so his sermons must be cheap. But these fellows charge a lot, so they must be good. Right? It's the same thing today, after 20 centuries. It's exactly the same. Things haven't changed. You know, when the people asked Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, I want you to see this. We've looked at it many times, but it's worth seeing it again. Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming? And you know, all over the world, Christians preach about the second coming of Christ and the signs of His coming, and there are so many magazines and so many messages on Christ is coming soon, and here are some of the signs, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Iraq, and the wars and earthquakes and tsunamis and all those things. Okay, it's all true, but please notice, what is the first thing Jesus said? And what's the thing that He kept repeating? He didn't keep repeating earthquakes and wars all the time. No, and that was not the first thing He said. He didn't speak about Israel, first of all. No. Matthew 24, what will be, the last part of verse 3, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And listen, please listen, my brothers and sisters, and don't ever forget this. These money-loving preachers won't tell you this. Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one deceives you. That's the first thing. Many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will mislead many. Now, you know, there are two ways you can understand that sentence. I have never heard, I never met anyway, a man who stands up and says, I am Jesus Christ. And there may be some crazy nuts some part of the world. But you think any of you will be deceived if somebody gets up here and says, I am Jesus Christ? I'd like to know if this youngest child here will be deceived by that. There's no need of... But read that sentence in another way. And like this. Many will come to you and say that I am Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. And then they will deceive you. You understood it? Supposing Jesus standing here, many will come to you saying that I am Christ, and then they'll deceive you. See, those days, you've got to understand what Christ means. Christ means a Messiah. Jesus lived in a country where 90% of them said He's not the Messiah. And Jesus said, many will come to you and say, Jesus is the Messiah. I am the Messiah. And then they'll deceive you. The other fellows won't be able to deceive you. So, Jesus is saying the people who will deceive you are the people who will say that He is the Christ. People who got the Bible, people who follow Jesus, apparently. But they'll deceive you. See to it. Whose responsibility is that? Your responsibility. See to it that you're not deceived. And I want to help protect you from deception. And then, further down, he says, verse 11, he repeats it. You know how when something's burning in your heart and you keep giving advice to your children, and you're protecting your children from something, he says, be careful about this, my son, my girl, be careful about this. And then you keep saying other things, and then you come back to what you said earlier, hey, I want you to be careful about this. That's what he says here. Verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and will deceive many. And why will they deceive many? What did we read in 2 Corinthians 11? Deception comes to those who have lost their fervent love for Jesus Christ. You know where Paul got it from? He got it from Paul, from Jesus. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many because, I'll tell you why they'll deceive them. Because the love of many people is going to grow cold in that time. And when fervent love for Jesus grows cold and love for other things take over, deception is widespread. But listen to this. The one who endures till the end in fervent devotion to me, he'll be saved. So I know how to be saved. I've got to preserve myself in a fervent love for Jesus till the end. It doesn't matter if you don't travel the world. It doesn't matter if you're not a great preacher. It doesn't matter if you don't do miracles. It doesn't matter if you don't heal the sick or raise the dead. If you preserve yourself in a fervent devotion to Christ, you'll be saved. On the other hand, you can do all those other things and be lost. Jesus himself said how people would do miracles in my name, do prophesy in my name, cast out demons in my name, and he would say, reject it.